Chevy Equinox with forward collision alert, automatic emergency braking, and available all-wheel drive. It's my ultimate mobile device. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule a test drive. Chevy Equinox. It's your choice. Own it.
Craig Bolanos joins us again. He's a regular guest on the Wintrust Business Lunch. Craig is the co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. Craig, welcome back to the show.
John, a very happy Friday. Great to be with you. How about those CEO confidence numbers?
Three-year high. Talk a little bit about that. Who are these guys or gals? What did that mean?
Well, John, you know in the markets we survey absolutely everything. And just the other day we saw that the CEO Confidence Index hit a three-year high. That's amid some optimism on the labor, the market, and the economy. And I think that's good news. But we have to realize that that CEO optimism is a survey that's in arrears. We just got today the exact opposite, is we had a gigantic drop in the consumer sentiment survey from the University of Michigan. So those two things are definitively at odds with each other, the retail public and CEOs.
Yeah, well, maybe that doesn't surprise me on any given day. I suspect that a lot of CEOs are happier than the people that are buying the products that they make.
I think that's exactly it. You know, I think that consumer sentiment survey we got just a couple of hours ago really showed that consumers are very, very worried about inflation. In fact, consumers expect inflation to trend higher from the current 3.2 up to 3.5. Now, will that consumerism worry actually manifest? We don't know. It's yet to be seen. But clearly, people are still dealing with a financial hangover of high costs for the last several years.
So is it, and what is the Dow's down 600 points today, the S&P are down, the NASDAQ's down, everything's down, and not a little bit. Is it inflation, or is it just the uncertainty of the new administration and the whole dang world right now?
I think it's just uncertainty in the whole dang world. But last time I checked, markets don't move in a straight line. And John, you and I talked a couple of weeks ago that we do think markets, as expressed by the U.S., can grow in 2025, but we said clearly it's not going to grow in a straight line, and I think this is evidence of that. But what am I excited about? I'm excited that the S&P recently hit an all-time high, and despite Trump, tariffs, and many issues, the S&P 500 is still over 6,000. I think that's good news on a Friday afternoon.
I don't mean to talk politics with you, nor do I mean to make things appear any worse than they are, because evidently things are still pretty good. But I think the mayhem with which Elon Musk and Donald Trump are cutting through the federal bureaucracy, the federal spending programs, to say nothing of the influence that the president is trying to exert in Israel and Gaza, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that gives people pause. I think that is what they're worried about more than inflation. That is a statement. I don't know if that's a question, but you could understand why people would not have a lot of confidence, say, if the consumer confidence index is down. It may be just because of what they see on TV all the time.
I think more so today than ever, we are bombarded with headlines in real time. And the pace of news and the pace of change has been absolutely torrent. And if no one likes uncertainty, change breeds uncertainty. So, John, you're just speaking truth to what everybody is feeling.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, but then, so what's going on today? Why is the market down 600?
Well, I think, you know, it's a combination of a couple of things. Yesterday, Walmart told all of us, even though Walmart stock has been on a tear, it was up 72% before the most recent earnings report in the last 12 months. They said, hey, we're going to have to pass along some of these tariff increases if they actually come through on electronics and other things to consumers. That's not good. That's confirming the inflation. In addition to that, we all know that last month, although I think it's an anomaly, the retail sales dropped moderately. I think a lot of it was because of the intense weather. A lot of it was because of the LA fires. And again, everyone just did their holiday seasonal shopping, so it's not a surprise we took off in January. But when you put together a couple of soft data points, everyone begins to get a little bit nervous. But real quick, John, manufacturing, soft landing. Service side of our economy, which is our economy today, soft landing. Non-farm payrolls, jobless claims, soft landing. So the trend is still our friend. I think this market is just due for a healthy 5 to 10% reset before we digest, consolidate, and move higher later in the year.
Steve Alexander, I believe, said, I know Steve talked about this, I'm trying to remember how many basis points. He said the 30-year fixed is down, but it was 13, I think, basis points. The mortgage rate has dropped a little bit. What's your thought about all of that?
You know, I'm so happy that the mortgage rate has dropped a tiny bit, but I think what's got so many people frustrated, and you've brought this up before, we had those Federal Reserve rate cuts in September, again in November, again in December, and it didn't do enough to really lower mortgage rates. The market rates have stayed high. And when you combine those higher than what it's been mortgage rates with housing prices that are very large, I do acknowledge that that's a risk in 2025 because a big part of our U.S. economy is powered by housing, and people's perception is that housing is unaffordable. We got to work on that over the course of the year, which I mean everything today is just coming back to inflation, John.
Yeah, well, their perception is housing is expensive because housing is expensive. We're talking to Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and wealth advisor at Vest Gen Wealth Partners. Their website is getretiredstayretired.com. Did you see, Craig, the idea floating around? It was tweeted at Elon Musk. Elon told the president about it. The president likes it. And that is, however much money Doge saves the federal government, taxpayers will get one-fifth of it back in rebate checks. So I might get $500, $5,000 someday back from the federal government, depending on how successful this cost cutting is. What do you make of that idea just in principle?
The Doge dividend concept is fascinating because I didn't see that coming. That certainly came out of left field. I think it would be incredibly tough to administer, but in principle, at the end of the day, the government is responsible to be a great steward to all of its shareholders. Its shareholders are its citizens, those who pay into the system. So I guess in principle, it makes sense. I just think it's much more of a shiny object to get people to support these constant barrage of cuts and changes that are manifesting.
Right, right, right. So not only are we doing this for you, but you might get some of it back. And then do you give it to every adult, every taxpayer, everybody that's paid into the tax system, but maybe not people who didn't end up paying taxes because their income was so low? Do you give it to children? Do you give it to migrants? And how about this? How about if you do that, say you are going to find some calculation we would all agree on, should you give it back to the people or should you pay down the debt? I think I know what you're going to say.
You know I'm going to say pay down the debt because the cost of administering a Doge dividend is exactly what we're trying to avoid. We're trying to avoid cost. I think of how much it's going to take to implement the Social Security Fairness Act that passed on January 5th. I mean, we just need to pay down the debt because all of us own a piece of that. So that'll be a common good as opposed to a Doge dividend going into my bank account for retail spending.
The most common question we get here on the Wintrust Business Lunch is, when am I going to see that Social Security bonus? It's supposed to happen automatically. So when and how much am I going to get? Do you have an answer on that?
Well, the Social Security Fairness Act, landslide legislation for anybody who's been under the footprint of the windfall elimination provision, the government pension offset. But the Social Security Administration has said, hey, we just need time. We just need manpower. I mean, they have to track people down who have passed away. Administering this entire system, I don't think people are going to see checks. My suspicion, it's an editorial, John, fall 2025 at the earliest.
All right. That sounds like what Terry Savage said, which is, we don't know, but don't expect it anytime soon. And I have not heard from anybody who has seen it. We started this conversation just talking about how CEOs are optimistic right now, not cautiously, but confidently. But you said that that's in the rearview mirror. What is the attitude, would you say, on Wall Street or Main Street right now?
Well, the Wall Street right now, the markets tell you what it is. You know, it's the swirling headlines, tariffs, trade wars, and geopolitical changes. Those issues are scaring investors, plain and simple. And emotion is a very measurable sentiment. We just measured it again today. And the one message that I hope rings clear to those who are creating the headlines, this is a strong point, even if the tariffs, even if the trades, all of these are just threats and negotiating tactics. The constant headline volatility will have an impact on consumer psyche if it goes on for too long. That's the key. Goes on for too long. So we'll see what happens, but we're only in the early innings.
That's what Joe Biden ran into, right? That a lot of the things that you would measure were very good for Joe Biden, but he just couldn't convince people that things were good because groceries and eggs were high. And it sounds like maybe this administration is running into some of that. If the barrage, as you say, is uncertainty and maybe inflation, good luck persuading people that things are going to get better.
That's exactly right, and that's why I think all of us as investors who have self-responsibility to accumulate monies for retirement and then create well-heeled strategies to get retired, we should focus on controlling what we can control. We can't control the headlines, you can't control the geopolitics, but you can absolutely control your risk budget, you can control what price you pay for securities, you can control how you rebalance, how you plan for taxes. If you do the basic blocking and tackling, this too will be okay.
You think maybe people are poised to overreact. What advice do you have for investors right now?
Panic is just never an option, and we're not seeing panic in markets at all. I want to be so clear on it. In fact, here's a contrarian indicator, John. You know, we talk about these old Wall Street adages, as goes January, so goes the year. New highs tend to make new highs. Don't fight the Fed. I have another one. The market climbs a wall of worry. And isn't it odd that the S&P 500 just hit an all-time high the other day, yet investor sentiment is definitively negative? When you look at the investor sentiment surveys out there, that can provide a tailwind that continues to move prices higher. And maybe that explains the difference between the CEO confidence meter and the University of Michigan consumer sentiment meter.
What do you make of the Fed and the possibility that they might actually raise rates this year?
I still think the Fed isn't moving towards raising. I think the Fed is definitively on a patient pause. I think if we can see a change in shelter costs, that's housing, and again, it's not the relative price of housing and rent. It's about the year-over-year changes. Markets move relative to expectations. I do think we can see a break in inflation courtesy of shelter once we get to the fall. And if that happens, the Fed could resume giving us a rate cut as early as September 2025.
Handful of tech stocks really moved and dominated the market last year. What do you think is going to be the biggest factor in the markets, in equities this year?
Well, let's be clear that what powered ahead the biggest tech stocks, right, the Magnificent Seven, FANG, whatever acronym you want to use, was generative AI and everything associated there with it. But maybe in 2025, the story is still artificial intelligence. But maybe the story, John, is how non-technology companies are adopting artificial intelligence to drive productivity, which will drive profits in their business. And that's why I think there's a chance this market broadens into places like financials and industrials, et cetera, into 2025.
And so you don't think there's any threat of a internet-like bubble, that this isn't actually going to pan out as prosperously as everybody seems to be betting?
you know what, we have to be so mindful that history tends to repeat itself, or history oftentimes rhymes, but we're not seeing the valuations being that out of line like we were coming into that top on March 10th of 2000. And I think that's so important for investors to recognize and remember. And if you pay attention to valuation, you pay attention to where you're at in the market cycle, I don't think there should be a large panic. But if we continue to see trees grow to the sky without good earnings per share and good economic data, then yes, we probably wouldn't be in 1995 anymore. We'd be closer to 1999. That's just not where we're at in February of 2025.
We've had guests say they think the market is a little rich right now.
I think there's parts of the market that are definitively rich. Last time I was on your program, you asked some very pointed and deft questions relative to Berkshire Hathaway and the amount of cash that Warren Buffett is accumulating inside of his portfolio, right? Selling shares from Apple and different companies that he's reduced positions in. And the Oracle of Omaha is not dead. He is still well and alive, and I think he's good for shareholders. But we also have to understand some of the constrictions and sizes that are there. And if you're an investor, not a trader, I think maintaining a disciplined approach to your asset allocation and your rebalancing protocols is going to be key. And I don't think you need to worry about raising a lot of cash at this juncture.
No, I'm glad to hear you say that. That's Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor at VestGen Wealth Partners. You can find him at GetRetiredStayRetired.com. Craig, we'll talk again. Thanks for your time today.
John, great to be with you.